Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome everybody to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a great Friday so far. Start of the weekend, thank God, right? Today, I got my man, Mr. Neil Golden, back on the show. Neil, how's it going?
Very good, Rob. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yes, absolutely. Neil, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. This is part 14 of a seriously extended series that we've been doing with you. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on. And we have one more episode left after today for the for this series. And again, as I said off air, I hope we get to have you back on, you know, some point next year. You know, for everybody just joining us with the series, Neil has been sharing a lot of different information about not just what he's into. I mean, so to break it down for you, Neil is a stock chart reader, which he's going to explain to you again in a minute. But I just want to say that over the course of this series, Neil has explained to us a lot of different things that affect the basically finance on a global level. I mean, from the seasonal changes to how the holidays affect it. And I think a new topic for today that Neil's going to cover, you know, is definitely something that is hitting us right now. And it's been something pretty serious over the last many years. I'm sure, you know, it doesn't really go away, unfortunately. The topic for today, for at least a little part of the show, will be terrorism and the effect that it has on the market. But before we get to all that, Neil, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, when you got into stock chart reading, and, you know, why don't you let everyone be a little bit aware of what you do and not just jump into it because you make it sound cool.
Oh, okay. I'd be glad to. First of all, I'd like to throw out a little disclaimer. I would encourage people to never invest with money you can't afford to lose. Just because something has happened in the past, there's no guarantee that it will happen exactly like that in the future. And you must always remember that when you're buying, especially stocks, that you're also buying risk. And investing in stocks is an art, and it's not a science. As to how I first became interested into stock chart reading was mainly the motivation was, hey, you know, it's a quick way to make money in a short period of time.
Sure.
So I started out doing futures, which I no longer do, because that's also the quickest way you can lose money.
Right.
So stocks move a little slower. So I mainly confine myself to the American stock market, and there's quite a few. Some people say there's 5,000 stocks out there, and other people will tell you there's 9,000 stocks out there. But I like to stay with American stock market, mainly the what they call the high cap, the companies that are worth, you know, billions of dollars, and watch how they move over a certain period of time, and from that I try to predict how they will move in the future by looking at how they moved in the past.
Right. Now, Neil, explain to everybody how it is that you got into it, though. I mean, you didn't just – you obviously had another job beforehand, right?
Yeah, I did. I've worked, you know, over 40 years, various jobs and that kind of thing, and then around, I think it was 2010, I thought I might retire, and I wanted to take it serious, and I found that over the years I had invested in a lot of books and magazines and, you know, investment advisories and stuff like that, but I still couldn't figure out, you know, where I was going, and it was, you know, still losing money at it. So what I did is I went out and I hired a mentor to sort of fine-tune my trading. And from that, he didn't answer all my questions, but at least he, you know, gave me the right direction to go. And one of the things, or sort of the feedback I get from doing this show, is that people would like to know more tips. And I remember the last time I talked to you, Rob, you were asking me about a tip. And this was just 2 weeks ago. And my answer, definitive answer, was I'll let the market tell me how this particular stock will do. And so far, this particular stock that I had mentioned, I think it was FedEx, you know, it has tanked. It was supposed to be going up. So there's other factors in the market that have affected the movement of the stock, you know, especially what happened. I think they were saying, what is it, December the 1st or so, they had something in San Bernardino.
Right.
That it was terrorism or something, but it has finally come
to
America.
That's what they're
calling
it, yeah.
Yeah, and it has had effect, I have to say, at this point on the American stock market, and that a lot of people are sort of nervous now about whether or not they should invest their money. You know, this is the month of December, and at the, you know, the Federal Reserve is considering raising interest rates on bonds and stuff like that to make them more attractive to investors. That would make it more attractive. And there's the employment situation, which, you know, seems to be improving. And, you know, with these things going on outside of the market, you know, and the global things that are happening, like in Paris, if people were wondering what to do at this point, should they invest or stay on the sidelines? Well, I can just tell you that professional traders at this point are probably taking a vacation, in the sense that they're not in the market at all, and they can afford to turn their back and walk away on it and enjoy the holiday season. Whereas if you're just getting started or whatever, it's probably best to just hold on to your money at this time until the beginning of next year, and then we'll see where the market goes from there.
Now, what do you suspect will happen at the beginning of next year? I mean, do you think things will turn around?
No. Well, today is like a Friday, and the market went up you know, over 300 points, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. To me, this represents high volatility. You know, usually when the market would go over, you know, 200 points on an average day a few years ago, the market would, you know, this would probably represent what they call a spike or in trading, and the next day or next few days it would start to go down. So if the volatility today, you know, is in the 300 range, I cannot predict by looking at charts what it's going to be doing on Monday. There's just too much chaos and uncertainty there. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm recommending that people not really get in the month of December, because, like I said, there's just too much uncertainty out there.
So is there anything, though, that people can at least dabble with, you know, just to at least test the market and test their money?
That I do not know. Not even, I think, what do they call it, consumer, you know, feelings or not. I mean, if you were to do something, I'd just say, you know, buy one share or something like that and see how it does, if you're just that curious. To see, but you know, some people find volatility to be very profitable. I think, yeah, what I wanted to tell you, the market at this point is near an all-time high for this year. Normally, I would say it's not going to go and make a new high in the month of December. The market will not do that. But
right.
If it does, that'll change the whole complex of everything. And how high if it does go, and if it did go higher, then I'd have to say that next year it probably would start selling off again, and it would probably take on what they call a head and shoulders formation,
right?
Which which means, you know, it's headed for a sell off because of the world situation, the global situation. I'm told that Europe is trying to stimulate their stock market, and the Chinese are still having problems with theirs. So the growth worldwide is still going to be quite slow for the coming year. And will the market collapse next year? The only thing I can say is, being somewhat optimistic, I'd say I hope not.
Right. Well, I'm sure you're not the only one that hopes not. But, Neil, I got to ask you a question. And I'm getting, for the show, we do get emails, requests sometimes, along with call-ins. But one of the emails that I've gotten with regard to with our show, with the discussions that you've been giving us, is what about tech stocks? Are you into them? Do you know much about the whole thing behind that and how successful they are?
To me, looking at a tech stock from an industrial Dow Jones stock, there's no difference. I am getting feedback because when I turn on my computer, it's there, people are no longer buying computers or laptops. They say everybody's buying notebooks at this point. So, in the United States, everybody has a printer, so those aren't selling at a, rate. But, iPhones or mobile phones seem to be expanding at this point. And the big fight, I'd say, dealing with technology, it is sort of being driven by high tech, but it more or less has to do with streaming music and videos at this point. If I were to, say an area that's worth looking at. And then on the medical side, because of all the discoveries every day, pharmaceuticals and biomedicine seem to be expanding very rapidly at this point.
Sure.
Those are interesting areas to look at, and for some reason they all seem to be connected to technology, which is
right.
Not going away.
And that's one thing I think that's a pretty safe bet for the market, right? I mean, tech's never going to really go anywhere. It's always going to be something that is progressing.
And the good thing about it is that it started right here in America. It's not
right.
Something that we're importing or we're trying to copy. The automobiles, and I think every car company at this point, is trying to make an electric car, from what I hear. And they seem to think that's going to be, the wave of the future. And makes us, less dependent on fossil fuels. And then there's that argument. Some people say that that's not, bothering the environment in which we live in. But other people says it's leading to, global warming. So, the country in some ways is becoming very divided politically. And socially, because of, the discrepancies in pay, women being paid, less than men on the average, depending on what state you are in. I think
right.
One of the worst states is supposed to be Alaska. But like I said, the country seems to be coming more and more divided. And then also it's, at this point, if I were to say, the popular opinion is, most parents don't want their kids to go off to war.
No, of course not. But what do you think about, what's your personal opinion on everything with politics right now? If you don't mind getting into it.
My personal opinion, because of the world situation, defense stocks will probably be a good sector if people were interested in that. I know, Congress will be, making more drones for sure.
Sure. No, that's happening.
Yeah, and then there's things like, armor and, bulletproof vest and those kind of things. So, anything, you know, some of the older established companies. One of the ones that everyone's been talking about recently is Raytheon. It's been around for a long time, you know, Lockheed and even, you know, Boeing and different things like that. So defense stocks, some of the airlines and those type of companies. I think, you know, President Eisenhower was against the, what he called the military-industrial complex, you know, ruling the country. But those are popular things to get into. And, of course, we always have the group of stocks like alcohol, tobacco, and some of the gambling stocks may turn around in that particular group. So the sin stocks are always out there and are usually a pretty sure bet in good times and bad.
Now, Neil, I know that another person that you wanted to mention, because you typically do give you know, interesting shout outs, that I gotta say, you know, a lot of people probably don't know, you know, half the people that you bring up, but I think it's very interesting and you know, really funny to hear you bring these people up, because they are very relevant in the world of finance and history in general. I mean, the historical value of some of the people that you've brought up has been, you know, pretty tremendous. So who is who's your man of today that you'd like to discuss?
Oh, thank you. It's one of my more famous people. To me, it's probably the first person I ever heard about that figured out the probably has the oldest formula for getting rich, and his name was Horace Greeley. He was an editor of a New York newspaper. He founded it in about 1840, but he lived approximately from 1811 to 1874. But what he's famous for is the saying, go west, and then I have to underline the next word, which is young man. Go west, young man, and grow with the country. And what he really meant by this, he wanted people to more or less leave the East Coast, travel westward in the country. And what he really wanted them to do is to buy large parcels of land. And as the cities grew, you know, the person could sell them off in smaller parcels so that other people could make houses and that kind of stuff. Or, and, you know, and therefore, you know, the person owning the land, this large parcel, would make a lot of money selling their land off in smaller parcels. But the reason why I'm just bringing him up is, to me, you know, this was a more or less an easy concept, but it's about the oldest one out there, you know.
And sure.
This saying, I'm told, it became popular around 1860. And what I didn't know at the time is that he's actually one of the founders of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting thing about this guy is that when he was living, he was considered to be a liberal, whereas today, you know, Republicans are considered to be quite conservative. So I find that sort of amusing. You know, it's liberal at one period of time could be quite conservative, you know, 100 years later. So it's sort of interesting to me how history, you know, goes back and forth, you know, like a pendulum on a clock, you know.
And with that, I just want to remind everyone that I'm with Neil Golden, again, stock chart reader based out of California. Now, what part of California are you at right now?
I'd be in the Bay Area. I don't want to really
in the Bay
say
Area.
Yeah, you know, that's
it's very secretive.
About
Neil
counts.
Has a secret lair. He does his stock chart reading from a secret lair. It's a cavern somewhere. No, but Neil, you know, with everything that's going on, and, you know, does the time of right now, does the economic time, does the political time, does the, you know, we'll say the friction between the different cultures out there right now. Does it remind you of any other era that, you know, we've had to overcome as a nation and as humans in general? I mean, is there anything that is very, it just strikes you as similar to another time where, you know, we were kind of faced with tough economic times. There was a lot of different things going on with terrorism and different cultures clashing, and the threat of war is always right there. I mean, does this sound familiar to you? Did it feel familiar?
Well, yeah, in a sense, it's some of it is familiar. Like, I was reading the history of the city that I would particularly live in. In a sense, there used to be, you know, there still are trains that run through it. And at one time, they were saying, like, on a particular block in the older part of the city,
right,
there were, like, 91 different languages spoken on this block. And I'm saying, what? I can't believe it. You know, 91 different languages? So, in a sense, I think big cities are, you know, in the United States are taking after this pattern. It's happened before. But now people are sort of attracted to the United States from all over the world. So in the past, that has happened. And then when I go even to my downtown area, what I'm noticing is that it's pretty diversified now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I hear stories about, you know, Philadelphia or Boston, you know, or even Chicago, you know, during the 30s, where you had the Irish, you had the Italians, and you had the English, and maybe you had a German section,
sure,
you know. But a lot of these people came from Europe. But now it's just so, you know, so confused. I mean, so diversified. You just have people from all over the world, you know, congregating in the cities. And the other effect that I'm noticing now is that young people no longer want to live in the suburbs, so they want to move back to the cities. So I'm being surrounded by a lot of, you know, young people in their early 20s. And that's sort of driving up the price of real estate. Oh, yeah, there's one more thing I forgot to admit.
Sure.
Forgot to say, when I was talking about Horace Greeley, is there anybody who has ever used this method to get rich? And I'd have to say, yes, there is. And that one person would be Bob Hope, who they said in Southern California, he owns a lot of it. They said what he used to do is he'd do a movie and he'd just take the money and go outside a large city and just buy vacant land. And then another large real estate holder in the state of California has to be, the largest holder of real estate is Southern Pacific. There's no longer a railroad in the sense that they've been bought out, but what they did is they split off their real estate part of the company, you know, many, many years ago. I think they go by the name of Catellus. But when they laid the railroad tracks, the federal government gave them like 5 miles of real estate on both sides of the tracks. They still own it for the most part. They never sell it, but they just lease it to people who want to build on it. So as far as going west, you know, living in California, you can't go anymore, not unless you go to Hawaii or Alaska maybe.
And have you ever, I meant to ask you actually, Neil, because we've had you on the show for, you know, this is the 14th episode of this series. You know, as far as your travels go, have you gotten to see much of the world out there?
No. Matter of fact, I really haven't. I have never really been out of the country, but I had a son who had been to Spain 5 times before the age of 25, but
and how did he do that? What was that with what was he doing that he was able to travel like that?
He just liked to do that. He did it mainly on his own.
Very nice.
But and then I've had friends who have been all over the world that I went to more or less high school with. So and they're still out there, you know, from China to Europe. Nobody, you know, that's really isolated themselves, but they, mm-hmm. you know, take vacations too and come back and talk about it. So
sure.
In some ways, I'm still in high school.
So Neil, I know, you know, I know I try to get this out of you every episode, and we do have a couple minutes left, so I think tonight is the night that I will get the answer out of you. When it comes to the current political standpoints of the candidates that we might be looking at, who do you think is going to best fit for the future?
The person, you know, I'm so bad at predicting, but, you know,
it's
if you
opinion.
Ask me...
It's totally my opinion.
Okay, as long as we agree on that. It doesn't represent your station or anything like this.
No sweat. We're allowed to say inappropriate stuff here.
Okay. The person I enjoy the most, for me, I think it is Bernie Sanders, because I feel that... he is, you know, he's having a good time. He enjoys what he's
right.
doing. He's passionate about it. And I feel that statistically he's figured out how to do it. He wants the young people. He wants the working class. And he wants minorities. So he's going to appeal to those groups. And statistically, he's got the slight edge. And when, on the other hand, when I listen to someone like Cruz, statistically, mm-hmm. he has no chance at all. And then I listen to Jeb Bush, and the only thing I can say is if he has the most money, I wish him luck.
Right.
But I don't know if America really wants to buy what he's saying at the time and put him there. Myself, you know, I won't be voting for, you know, Trump, but he is entertaining. So
that's about all he is, though, right? I mean, he just comes off as a little much.
Yeah, and I don't think the only thing he has in his favor, I feel, is the older American population. He's definitely got that. And one thing I do know about this next election, that it'll be the first election since 1948, first presidential election where there's more people over the age of 65 than there are teenagers. So in order to win the election in 2016, whoever comes across will have to really get a lot of votes from
sure.
the older people, plus the working class and the younger people. And I just feel that Bernie Sanders can motivate the people to go out and vote, because, you know, what they're saying is that if young people don't vote, then automatically the Republicans will win. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we just need, you know, a lot of people to vote in the next election, and that way democracy will have a better chance of being done.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, unfortunately, we're rounding out the final minute of today's show. Do you have any parting words for us?
No, but I'm looking forward to my next next conversation with you. I think I finally figured out what it is I want to do, so I'm going to spring that
right,
on you.
Very cool, very cool. Well, Neil, like I said, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And guys, stick around. You know, in 2 weeks we're going to have him back on, same time, same place, same day, right?
Yeah, fine with me.
All right, sounds good. Well, Neil, take care. Have yourself a good 2 weeks, and we're going to see you again 2 weeks from tonight, Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay, thanks for having me, Rob. Have
All
a good right. weekend.
Well, from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Good night, everybody.